It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a great show for you. In fact, we've got two great guests, an old friend and a new friend. In fact, our good friend Sam Walker is going to join us first. He is the news director for Max Media, and he actually also does a great job as a writer for the Outer Banks Voice. He'll be on with us. And then the second half hour, we're going to have a new friend, Bobby Guthrie, the assistant executive director for the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame. And they have a big induction ceremony for the 2018 class for the Hall of Fame, and that'll be coming up in early May. We'll be talking to both of them. Look forward to it. Very excited. Thank you so much for all the success so far. Appreciate you guys so much. In fact, we've had a lot of great people listening so far. Appreciate it. You can follow us on Twitter as simply at TheSportsOBJ. And then obviously, if you can like us on Facebook as well. You can email me at davidrichmond@thesportsobjective.com for questions, feedback, comments, whatever you have. Again, davidrichmond@thesportsobjective.com. Appreciate it very much. Let's start things off with the show with Sam Walker and a great friend of mine. Let's go to that interview right now.
You're listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. And ladies and gentlemen, I have one of my good friends. We've been radio friends and friends for almost 19 years now. Hard for me to believe it's been that long. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Outer Banks, reporting live now is Sam Walker. How are you, sir?
Good to talk with you again, David. It's always a pleasure. And it is hard to believe. It's been two decades since we first met on Parsonage Street Extended in Elizabeth City, and our careers have diverged and merged over these two decades. It's kind of crazy.
It is. It was actually right near Halloween of 1999. I came aboard, and you were the first person not that they had the mayor or the band out there, but you were like the second person to welcome me to the station and to the company. So it feels good that. I always say when you make a friend in radio, you've done something.
Yeah, you better believe it.
That's a whole. We could do a podcast just on radio, and I guess only radio people would listen. But anyway, we wanted to bring on Sam. Sam, we've been friends for a long time. You like I love sports, and I know you knew way back when that I always wanted to do a sports show, and here we go. But I wanted to have you on to talk about what you do and your career a little bit, and also maybe some topics going on right now in sports that are on your mind. So first of all, tell everybody what you do on the Outer Banks and give a little, I guess, thumbnail sketch of you got so many titles it's hard to keep up with.
Well, I'm a news director for Max Radio the Carolinas, which is a 5-station group based in Nags Head. Our flagship station is Beach 104. We also have 99.1 The Sound, 94.5 WCMS, which is our country station, and Classic Rock 104.9 and 92.3. The Sound is our adult album alternative station, and Beach 104 is the top 40 station, which is the only top 40 station probably in the world that does daily fishing reports and a two-hour talk show that just talks about fishing. We are unique in our local approach. Probably more than any other radio group in the state. And that's, you know, we pride ourselves on that because we're a tourist destination, but we're such a unique destination around the world. And so many people know the Outer Banks when you say it. And we try to bring that to our listeners, not only, you know, here locally, but around the world. Our streams are so popular with people who vacation here because they love listening to us when they're getting ready to come for vacation or right after they leave. And even in the middle of the winter when it's, you know, foot of snow on the ground in D.C. or New York, and they're listening to us because they want to feel like they're at least at the Outer Banks for a little bit. I'm also news director right now for the Outer Banks Voice, which is an online newspaper. It was the first online-only member of the North Carolina Press Association. You find us at outerbanksvoice.com, and we are a newspaper. That's what we are. We just don't print one. We just do a digital online version. Covering local news and other topics here on the Outer Banks, and if you want to talk about a full-time job, it is definitely a full-time job. And I know that doesn't have a lot to do with sports, but it does because my background is in sports. I was fortunate enough to work at Campbell University while I was a student there, as in our sports information office, after being manager for the basketball team, and Had a chance to do play-by-play for basketball and baseball at Campbell, and went on to a public address announcing career at Wake Forest football and the Edenton Steamers and the one-time Raleigh Red Wolves of the Coastal Plain League. Even dabble now into public address announcing for gymnastics in southeastern Virginia. So kind of a wide range of topics that I cover almost on a daily basis, whether it's local news, statewide news, and then, of course, sports.
What's going on as far as are there any sports things that come to mind when you think about the Outer Banks? Since we're talking about the Outer Banks, we'll start there with you being local, and you guys do a great job on the Outer Banks, covering the Outer Banks, and what about sports-wise out there?
Well, probably one of the biggest stories we've had over the last couple of weeks would be Catherine Schuster, a freshman at First White High School, 14 years old, who just won her division and the Drive Chip and Putt National Championship at Augusta National the weekend before the Masters.
Wow.
She made a 30-foot putt on the 18 green to clinch that title. That was her second appearance in that. She actually played in the inaugural National Drive Chip and Putt Championship when she was 11 years old at Augusta. It was the first it was held at Augusta. And she is a phenom, to say the least. She won the 1A, 2A Girls State Championship for high school back in October and is really and it's a phenomenal story because she has overcome a degenerative disease in her legs that caused these very painful bone spurs and actually had to have surgery right before her first appearance in the National Drive Chip and Putt and when she was 11 back 4 years, 3 years ago. And was able to overcome that, won the chipping portion of her division, and finished third overall, and then, of course, wins the national championship this year. So a phenomenal story. We've highlighted, profiled her several times at OuterBanksVoice.com in her career. She's one of the top-ranked junior women's golfers in the state right now. And, of course, as a freshman, she's got three more years to become even more phenomenal and she's already on the national radar as a potential Division I player and possibly a player professionally as well. So that right now probably is our biggest sports story. Secondary, I'd say, on the minds of folks out here is Elizabeth City State University. They just fired their athletic director, basketball coach, the men's basketball coach, and the football coach all in the span of a couple of weeks.
Wow.
And that's troubling, and it's not just troubling from an athletic standpoint. Elizabeth City State has been under the gun from the legislature and from the UNC system for quite a few years because they had problems with their enrollment dropping. They've had problems with their financial aid department, a lot of issues there. They've replaced the chancellor several times. In fact, the chancellor there now is getting ready to retire, made these moves as he's going out the door. They've already placed a new chancellor, at least an interim chancellor that will be coming on in June, who has worked in the UNC system office for many years. And this is one of the schools that's under the NC Promise program starting next year with the $500 tuition, Elizabeth City State, UNC Pembroke, and Western Carolina University will start that next year. And that's to boost enrollment. And a story came out this week that ECSU's enrollment is up for next year. They see promising signs. But they've, you know, making these clean house moves in that program like they've done just in the last couple of weeks, especially, and football has really been a very up-and-down proposition at Elizabeth City State the last couple of years. They've had some success. And then they've had several coaches through there now. They've had several coaches through on the basketball side as well. So that's probably our second biggest story as far as, you know, what's going on in Elizabeth City State and what the future holds for a program that they dropped baseball in the recent years. Again, their enrollment's been down. So that one is something that needs to be a close eye kept on because what the future holds for the HBCUs and the CIAA in North Carolina because of all the transitions that have happened with schools leaving and coming back, such as Winston-Salem, trying to go to Division I and finding out they couldn't make it and went back to Division II. So those are probably our two biggest sports stories out here right now.
That's amazing. I spent time in Elizabeth City, and I will always have deep affections. There's so many great people in that town and city, if you will. And the Elizabeth City State, I had time to, our good friend, late great friend, I hate to say that, Greg Sampson, who was a tremendous talent, a tremendous voice. We lost him several years ago to diabetes complications, but he's the one that kept me up to date and up to speed on what was going on with the campus and everything. And so I hate to hear, you know what, through tough times, even through like the economy years ago, I heard a great thing. Through tough times, you find creation and innovation. So if you're that way and you're looking for a great education, Elizabeth City State's a great place. I've taken classes there, and believe it or not, it's a good university. And it's one of those, wouldn't you say, Sam, because of the location, it's one of those diamonds in the rough when it comes to the UNC system?
Oh, definitely, because it's so close to the Outer Banks. You know, it has a historic, and being a historically black college university, it has a great history, turning out phenomenal teachers over the years, especially here. It's been a big resource for our teachers in northeastern North Carolina to be able to continue their educations close to home, allow students who may not have an opportunity to go to a four-year school outside the region, be able to stay home, get that four-year education, and then expand their possibilities. And that is one of those things, it's concerning the future that ECSU has in the state, and it looked rough. I mean, there was one time they talked about possibly closing Elizabeth City State. It was seriously looked at about 4 or 5 years ago, and to see it coming back is a positive sign. And again, that the NC Promise program with this $500 tuition for in-state students on top of the incentive scholarships are offered to students from 13 counties that surround it, who are able to actually almost go for nothing while living at home or living on campus and be able to attend and get a four-year degree. You know, it is, again, like you said, a diamond in the rough, and it's something that, you know, the Northeast wants to hang on to desperately because, you know, it's one of those things that keeps people here because our populations outside of Currituck and Dare County are dropping all the time because people are moving away because the opportunities just aren't here. And that's one of the things that keeps, you know, natives here and keeps those of us who have grown up here is that opportunity to be able to do something at home and stay at home.
I tell you what, I didn't know that. That's why we have you on. We need to have you on from time to time with different things for the Outer Banks, but certainly northeastern North Carolina. And when you think about, I know when people talk about economic impact, but when you want to talk about people leaving and leaving and leaving, you know, being from Williamston, my hometown, it's pretty much the population is stagnant. It seems like it pretty much stays the same. It doesn't grow. It really doesn't decline, and you have to be real careful. You don't have any margin for error when it comes to keeping people, and especially when it comes to jobs. I mean, when you have Elizabeth City State, that's going to affect jobs and everything. So, and when you talk about education right now, I didn't know about that program. That's a tremendous. I have kids that are going to be in college in the next decade or so. That's a tremendous idea, and hopefully they'll keep that for years to come.
Yeah, actually, my daughter was looking at Western Carolina just this past week because of that and visited UNC Asheville and also Appalachian State. And one of the things was Western having that program because she wants to be an education major and she wants to have her expand her horizons. Not say get away from here. But,
I was curious.
Yeah,
I was curious,
you know,
get away from you and Emily, your wife.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, expand her horizons beyond just the borders of northeastern North Carolina. Yeah, you know, something you just mentioned about population, the lack of population growth and the shrinkage here, that has an impact on the sports out here, especially our high school sports. We've seen, you know, one of our more powerful programs, John A. Holmes High School in Edenton, most people will know it as Edenton Holmes when they see it listed in scores, dropped down from 2A to 1A this past year. They were defending 2A East Region football champions. They were defending 2A baseball state champions, dropped down to 1A. Of course, when you go into 1A football, you know, 2A football is competitive as it is. It's not something that's, you know, as competitive in the Northeast or in parts of the state. But when you go down to 1A, you see a huge jump in what you have to play against, not just at a statewide level, because we all know how powerful things are out in the western half corner of the state with all those little 1A But you add into there the 1A's that are in the East. And Edenton ran into that when they lost in the regional finals to Tarboro, who, you know, the traditional powerhouse there. That's been a huge transition for them. It's been a positive transition in some sports, a negative in others, because their Olympic sports program for a small school is very successful. Tennis, they've had some success in soccer. They've really had success in girls' tennis especially. And they were expanding their opportunities in the Olympic, in the non-revenue sports, besides basketball and football. And Edenton's always been a powerhouse in football for decades, and will be, and baseball as well. But they've had to make a transition, and several of our other schools out here are going to end up making that transition. We've got a couple of 1As who, Creswell being the smallest, second smallest 1A school in the state behind Ocracoke, which only has four sports. Creswell has always tried to field sports. They're in a position that they may end up getting consolidated. There's serious talk now about consolidating Creswell with Plymouth, creating a Washington County high school. Correct. Which, you know, and Creswell had some success in football as a 1A school in the long ago. And, of course, Plymouth has been in the state championship for, what, six of the last 8 years in 1A.
Yeah.
And so you put those two together, you're actually going to create a pretty strong team. But schools like Bertie, which has won football state championships, they have seen a huge decline in their enrollment, and that has hurt them in performance. You know, so we have an issue out here where we've seen the flight, people leaving the area, or they're going to places that have, such as Prairie Tuck, such as Elizabeth City, which has two high schools, in Northeastern and Pascal-Tay. Many of these kids who were going to these smaller 1A schools, because of the economic opportunities, they're having to move to areas away, either out of the Northeast, or they're moving into the population centers of the Northeast, such as Elizabeth City. And so we're seeing the drop-off in talent, drop-off in performance by these smaller 1A schools that are going to these 2A schools. So it all kind of comes back to what we just talked about with the economic opportunities with, you know, school like Elizabeth City State, things like that. All kind of ties together, not only, you know, in the socioeconomics of the Northeast, but our sports as well.
Well, one thing I was going to say, I know you don't have a lot of time, and you were gracious enough to spend time with out of your busy schedule, but I want to have you back on. And here's what I want to have you back on, many reasons, because you're one of my good friends, but also when it comes to high schools, and I'm going to have them on in fairness, North Carolina High School Athletic Association, which I really love. I'm obviously a player and a coach under the umbrella, so I love them tremendously. But I really want to see, and we don't have time to get into it, but I just want to throw this out to you so you'll come back on, hopefully, is let's have a show on talking about the classifications of the high school, or at least an interview, because there's a lot of schools that are 1A that are fighting against. I know they've tried to do that a good job with 1A and AA and all that when it comes to football. But, man, you've got schools that have a few thousand kids, it seems like we should go up to at least 5A or maybe 6A with the growth in the state.
Exactly, going to a bigger multi-class system, but also something we didn't talk about, and we could do an entire show on this, and there's a lot of guys around the state I know that would love to talk more about it with us, is the charter school situation. Because
yes,
you've got schools, you've got Ocracoke having to play against a school that has kids who live in Raleigh, who live in Durham, who live in Roxborough, but that live in these big cities and go to these 1A schools, and they're competing against Ocracoke. They're competing against Creswell. They're competing against Beargrass. They're competing against Columbia. This has been a huge, huge controversy over the years, and the state continues to not so much ignore it. It's the membership. But we could do – we really do need to put together a show there's so many guys that cover high school athletics across the state that we talk about this all the time on Twitter. And, you know, whenever it comes up, whether it's basketball, whether it's with the Olympic sports, with the non-revenue sports, football hasn't seemed to have been taken by it, but eventually it's going to, and it's something the state needs to address. But, yeah, we could talk about that. We could talk about it. You know what? I hate that we started this in April because we're done with basketball, for the ACC basketball, but you know me. And you, we can talk about college basketball for a couple hours a day, which is what's so great about living in this state. And even in our part of the world, as remote as we are and as separated as we are from the Triangle, you know, hey, when it comes to State Carolina, Duke, and Wake Forest and East Carolina, we out here, it's probably even more severe rivalry because it's so fractured, the fan base out here. So we're going to have a lot of fun with this. I'm looking forward to doing this with you on a regular basis.
I was just going to say quickly, I'm tickled to death to have Dave Hart back at East Carolina, and it's certainly almost back to the future, or definitely throwback Thursday. Every time they make an announcement on Thursday, and it's somebody from the 90s. So
what is this about? Greenville's becoming the land of the retreads.
Well, I'll tell you, Dooley, man, I'm telling you, Dooley, give him time. I'm really excited to have him back. He was actually, I'll let you go, I'm looking at the time. He was actually calling coaches. This is how great he is. He's calling coaches in the area before he even has the job. I just think that was, I think that was great. And we'll have to, we'll leave that at another time. But Sam Walker, you are amazing. I appreciate you coming on. And you know, you're welcome anytime. You always have an open door policy, personally and professionally. And I tell you what, it's we're off to a great start with the podcast. A lot of people listening, which I appreciate very much. And I appreciate you being on this afternoon.
Of course. And you can keep up with what's going on out here in the Northeast. And my take on just about any topic you can imagine, you can keep up with us at OuterBanksVoice.com. Follow me on Twitter, at SamWalkerOBX. If it's ACC basketball, if it's high school sports, if it's the weather, and if it's what's happening in Star Wars and the Disney parks, you'll find it out from me first. So feel free to jump on board. You'll never know where the topics are going to go when you're following me on the social media.
That's what's great. That's what keeps the element of surprise, my friend.
Thanks, Lund.
It's always great to catch up with an old friend like Sam Walker. What a great thing and job he's doing as a broadcaster, a journalist. He's doing it all as news director at the local stations there, and certainly he does a great job play-by-play for many years for various organizations and covering the Outer Banks like nobody else can. I tell you what, find a better newscaster, especially when it comes to things on the Outer Banks, and let me know. Our next guest is a new friend, Bobby Guthrie. Again, Bobby is a new friend who actually was at the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame. He's the Associate Executive Director, and he's like second in command to Don Fish, who's the Executive Director, and we appreciate them coming on. In fact, let's find out more about Bobby Guthrie, and let's go to that interview right now.
You're listening to the Sports Objective Podcast, and ladies and gentlemen, I'm so excited. We have the folks from the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame. In fact, Bobby Guthrie is joining us. And Bobby, can you give me the title of your great...
I am... First, I want to thank you for having us on and being able to talk about the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame. I'm the Associate Executive Director of the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame. Don Fish is the executive director. Don has actually been the executive director for about 12 years now, and I've been helping him for less than 2 years. So he's on his way on a trip right now that's Hall of Fame related, and so I am substituting for him. He certainly knows a lot of these people that have been inducted for the past few years and knows more people than I've ever seen.
Well, I know you're not giving yourself enough credit. You know a lot of people as well. And I'm excited because in 1985, my great uncle, Roger Craig, he doesn't like anything that he was inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Right.
And I know not only he, but there's many great North Carolinians that I want to honor, keep their story and legacy alive. And the way you do that is to have a Hall of Fame. And I'm so excited. The North Carolina Museum of History is where it's located on the third floor on Eatonton Street in downtown Raleigh. If you get a chance, even if you're not from North Carolina, I urge you to go to Raleigh. A lot of great things to do, and you can visit the Hall of Fame, right, Bobby?
Right, exactly. Yes. And it is a 3,500 square feet that is packed, at least at the moment, with 336 inductees. And we've got banners, we've got artifacts. It's really a great place to visit and see some of the individuals that are have been inducted into the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame. And you know, David, the thing that I tell people is I would certainly put this Hall of Fame up against any Hall of Fame in the country, because the Hall of Fame members we have, they're not only just the best that we're talking about in North Carolina, they're the best of the best. whenever you have a Richard Petty and a Dale Earnhardt in the racing world, and a Dean Smith and a Mike Krzyzewski and Roy Williams and people, Norm Sloan, like that in the basketball coaching world, and you have Michael Jordan in the basketball world, you know, like I said, David Thompson, these people are considered the best to have ever played in particular sports. And so it's not just a matter of just North Carolina. These are world known, and that's one thing about this Hall of Fame that I think is so exceptional right here.
I tell you what, it's so exciting, because you guys have really done a great job, and I think one of the things that I've noticed about the Hall of Fame, if you look at the inductees, and give the website, Bobby, for people to go to.
Yeah, it is. If they go to www.ncshof.org, it is. We have updated the website over the last year. And we have an On This Date series. If you wanted to follow us on Twitter, if you just put in NCSHOF, you would find us on Twitter. But we do an On This Date series. We do a Hall of Fame Member of the Month. We've got our new inductees are already up on the website. They've got full bios on the website. And so it is something. You can see pictures from last year's banquet. Just about everything you could think of, we have tried to include on our website, and so very exciting to work with this. But we're trying to promote the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame and what it is and what it can do, and you know how it can help.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's so many great athletes, and, you know, I talk all the time about a separate issue here, but when you look at the number of great athletes across the board in North Carolina, even today, even our high school kids that are coming in the North Carolina High School Athletic Association, there's a ton of great athletes, no matter what the sport is.
Right.
I know I sound like a homer, and I am from North Carolina, but you look at across the state of North Carolina, you don't always have to go to Hawaii, Alaska, you know, Texas, Florida. You can actually, we've got a lot of great kids from Murphy to Manio, so to speak, and from up and down and all around North Carolina, the Tar Heel State. I'm very excited about the Hall of Fame, because there's a lot of, one thing that I will say, Bobby, is I wanted to talk about the bios in just a minute before I forget that. Let's talk about I was getting ready to jump in that, and I want to make sure that we talk about the induction banquet coming up in a few weeks.
Exactly. Yes. What we have is coming up here in about probably a little over 3 weeks. We've got on Thursday, May the 3rd, at the North Carolina Museum of History, we will have that's kind of our media day. We introduce our 2018 inductees. We'll do that in the afternoon, and then later that night we'll have a reception for all of the inductees. And then on Friday, May the 4th, at the Raleigh Convention Center, we will have our banquet. And we have a reception from like 5 to 6:30. And then at 7 o'clock, we have our banquet. And, I mean, it is a great dinner, and it's a great production where we induct the latest 2018 class. And once we have inducted this class, we will then have 351 inductees into the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame. But this is a great induction class that we have coming up this year.
I wanted to ask about that. Is it are there tickets available where folks can come and
they certainly can, and in fact, I can give a telephone number. Is probably the easiest thing to do on that. But the main telephone number for the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame office is 919-845-3455. 919-845-3455. And there are still tickets available. I think I may have mentioned, David, in our earlier conversations that this has the potential to be our largest banquet ever. Last year we were slightly under 1,000 attending our banquet. This year we're thinking we're probably going to be towards 1,200 that attend our banquet, and that's what it's looking like right now.
That's
so going to be a large banquet, and it's amazing. Some of these inductees that we have are going to have anywhere from 7 or 8 on up to about 11 or 12 tables of people that will be just interested in their, you know, their person that's being inducted. And which is amazing when you start getting that many tables for some of the inductees right there, because you can sit 10 to a table. So you
right.
start figuring that out. There's going to be, for a couple of the individuals, there's going to be at least 100 or more in attendance representing them and honoring them.
It's very exciting because we've got a lot of great members of the Hall of Fame, as you mentioned. In fact, just Google the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame if you're listening right now and you want to, while you listen to the podcast, you want to kind of look and play along, so to speak, at home while we're doing that, or if you're at the gym, whatever, maybe later you can look at it. I want to make sure it's a great website. There's a lot of great people. And I want to talk about now, shifting gears to the 2018 class. I tell you what, I know each and every year I always say when I look at the class, I told you yesterday when we were preparing for this interview, I told you I'm a Hall of Fame nerd. I'm a nerd when it comes to Hall of Fames. I love
right.
them. I'm not worthy of being in. There's so many great people that are worthy of being in. And who are they this year, Bobby? Who do you want to start with?
Well, let's if possible, let's just start in kind of an alphabetical order and
okay.
go down, because it just keeps it a little bit simpler. Then we can kind of break it up into groups that we have here a little bit. But
okay.
but you know, we have Donna Andrews, who was a LPGA golfer and was on the LPGA tour for a while, a Lynchburg, Virginia native who now lives in Pinehurst. She was actually finished in the top 10 money list several times on the LPGA tour. Played her golf at UNC as a collegiate golfer. And we have Scott Bankhead, who was an All-American pitcher at North Carolina. I think he was actually born in Raleigh, but we found out very quickly that he is even though he lives in Ashboro now, he is a Reidsville native. That's where he went to school. And people will be quick to let you know these things whenever you start putting up bios. But Scott Bankhead, he had a 10-year major league career and pitched with the Seattle Mariners. I know that Scott had just a tremendous career as a baseball player. We've got several baseball players. Hal Skinny Brown, and some of these people you may not know because they played in an era a little bit earlier, but he pitched in the major leagues from like 1951 to 1964 with the Orioles.
Oh.
And he actually was born in Greensboro, and Hal was, you know, these people that pitch in the major leagues 12-13 years right there, they you and I both know they've got a lot of things going for them. There's
yes.
no doubt, you know.
Yes.
Chris Kamak, who is a native of Fayetteville, he is still recognized as one of the best baseball players, if not the best, that NC State has ever had. And he had a single sitting, single season batting average of .429 1 year. And he was a great point, played basketball and baseball, multiple sports in high school, but he had all ACC honors four different times, which is that's just unheard of, you know, to do that. So all 4 years that he played, and the interesting thing was, I can't remember how many times he was drafted, but he was drafted in his full bio will tell this, but he was drafted several times to play in the pros, but he was just one of the people that didn't really care whether he played in the pros or not. And he went on to a successful business career. The next person we have, people probably have heard his name lately, his Joey Cheek. And Joey Cheek is a speed skater. And you probably wouldn't think in North Carolina we would have, you know, how many speed skaters. He probably started out as something other than a speed skater. But he won medals in the 2002-2006 Olympic Games. And most recently, he was on the broadcast of the Winter Olympics.
Yes, he was.
So during the speed skating part. So in fact, trying to get in touch with him when he was in Seoul, Korea, was not easy. Let's put it that way. In fact, that's when we were trying to get in touch with him to let him know he was being inducted this year.
Wow.
Wes Chesson is our next one, and Wes is a native of Edenton. He, of course, played for the Duke Blue Devils, set all kinds of records as a receiver for the Blue Devils, went on to play for the Atlanta Falcons. Just a fantastic career there that he had for Duke and the Atlanta Falcons. Laura DuPont, and you can see how we're getting into different sports. Laura DuPont was a tennis player, and she actually came from Louisville, Kentucky, moved to Charlotte when she was a teenager. Then she went on to win about everything you could win in North Carolina as a junior tennis player, won the intercollegiate championship whenever she was at UNC, and then she went on the women's tennis tour, and
wow,
she won for years on the women's tennis tour. Maybe if you talk to tennis people in North Carolina, maybe the best tennis player in that North Carolina has ever had.
Wow.
Right there. No, so you lot. She is going to be represented big time by the National Tennis Association and the North Carolina Tennis Association at our banquet. The next one is Mindy Ballou Fitzpatrick, who is a native of Carteret County. And this is an interesting one here. When she was in high school, she played volleyball and basketball. Goes to the University of South Carolina, and she is a All-American basketball player. So what does she do when she graduates from South Carolina? She becomes a championship surfer. And I'm talking about a world championship surfer now. In fact, a lot of the pictures we got was of her surfing. She's really being inducted into the Hall of Fame as a basketball player. But she may be as good or better as a surfer. And I think we talked yesterday, David, how many basketball players do we know that are also world-class surfers around? You know?
I don't know. And I was going to follow up with you. Is that the? Do you have any other surfers in the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame?
No, I'm not sure that we have a surfer. I think we've got a skier from
right.
Eastern North Carolina.
That's correct. I know it is. Christy Overton.
Yep, Christy Overton. But
yes,
we do not have a as far as I know, this is our first surfer. And in fact, the Surfing Association, I didn't realize some of these things existed. To you learn a whole lot, you know. I'm just a former college baseball coach and athletic director in Wake County Schools for a long time, so a lot of this stuff is very new to me. I'm learning every day, but the talents that this person, that Mindy has, is unparalleled as far as we can find out, you know.
Yeah.
The next person I want to talk about is Bill Hayes, and I have gotten to know Bill real well over the last probably 4 or 5 months, and Don put me in charge of finding out about his career and some different things and getting his bio and all. And Bill Hayes has been at multiple schools in North Carolina and has been successful at all of them. He was at Winston-Salem State University, where he won multiple CIAA football championships. Then he goes to North Carolina A&T. He is at North Carolina Central, Florida A&M, back to Winston-Salem State. He was inducted in February into the Black College Football Hall of Fame. He was inducted as the football coach. All of the other people that were inducted were pro football players.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, this guy has just had an unbelievable career. And another person that would be certainly under the radar screen, you know, David, that wouldn't be recognized unless he got out there and people that knew him got out there and promoted him. And so that's what's so great about this right here is finding out about these individuals. And I have contacted some people for Bill from the Cleveland Browns, from a couple of other pro teams that started their careers playing for Bill. Okay.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, when you hear stories about that and what Bill has done for them, well, it's only appropriate that we're recognizing Bill, you know?
Yeah, exactly. He sounds, I've heard the name before, but that's what's so great about the Hall of Fame is being able to have these great folks, and you're being able to talk to these folks. And like I said before, I wanted to have you guys on from time to time. Let's keep the legacies alive of these great folks. There's a lot of great people I know that are from yesteryear, way before my time, but I'm a history guy, and I think that's important for folks to know literally where they came from and all the great athletes in North Carolina who paved the way for them, and now it gives them new opportunities as well.
Right. The Jack Holly, this name may sound familiar. Jack Holly was an outstanding athlete at New Hanover High School, goes to Guilford. He's in the Guilford College Hall of Fame. He coached 46 years at the high school level, and his football teams won a whopping 412 games. And he included – we have got people coming to our banquet from Tabor City, and we've got people coming from Wallace Rose Hill, where he's won multiple state championships at both places right there. You know, Paul Jones is our next high school coach, known more for his basketball career, even though he won a baseball championship. But he was at Kinston High School, was there for 38 years from 1957 through 1995. He won 662 games.
Wow.
Pretty good career, you think? You know,
yes.
So he had multiple state titles, 4 runner-up finishes, just phenomenal what Jack Holly and Paul Jones did in the high school coaching world. Then we have Mike Martin, and Mike Martin is the baseball coach at Florida State University, Charlotte native, went to Garinger High School. He has done just an unbelievable job at Florida State, and I'm throwing this off the top of my head, but I think he started this year with like 1,944 wins.
Wow.
Okay.
Unbelievable.
Now, I think those 1,944 were 32 behind whomever's in first place.
Wow.
And so Mike Martin, who's having a great year this year for Florida State, is going to be, by the end of the year, he will be the number one winningest Division One baseball coach. In fact, I think it may be for all, but I know it's Division One baseball coaches ever, and has just had a unbelievable career there at Florida State. And we are definitely fortunate to be able to have him to be inducted this year. The next person is Frank Jakey May. And if Frank Jakey May were living now, he'd be 114 years old. So we know that's not going to happen. But Jakey, as they called him, is from Wendell. He is just a renowned person in the Wendell area. There's baseball fields named after him. When they start their youth leagues each year, they have a Jakey May Day. Wendell is all over this year. They're coming to our banquet. He had a 14-year major league career, left-handed pitcher, and he actually pitched in the 1932 World Series for the Chicago Cubs, struck out Babe Ruth twice on six pitches, and even though the Cubs lost that series, it's still pretty amazing that he did that against Babe Ruth and the New York Yankees. In fact, one story, David, was that the New York Yankees tried to buy out his contract to get him to pitch with the Yankees, but the deal did not go through. So it would have been interesting. Maybe we wouldn't have had the striking out Babe Ruth story, but maybe he would have pitched against the Cubs in that World Series, you know?
You know, what's funny about that is, as far as career-wise, if he had been a Yankee, we probably would have been a household name, and he may have already been in the Hall of Fame by now.
You're exactly right, because, I would not know Jakey May. You know, and I was a baseball person. So this is that's the kind of thing we're trying to let people know about these individuals. The next person people may have heard of before, Joe West, is an umpire in the major leagues. He's umpired for 40 plus seasons in the major leagues. I saw him the other night on television. He's still doing this.
And
of course, last year he umpired behind the plate at the All-Star game. He has umpired multiple World Series championships, and an Elon graduate, real good football player. I'm understanding he was just a fantastic athlete coming through high school, and he's from the Greenville area, too.
Right.
So another one the records of these people just kind of blow your mind when you start looking at. When you start talking about how many wins a Mike Martin has or Jakey May and Joe West years of umpiring. The next person that we have, and this is our last in alphabetical order, but certainly not least, Fred Whitfield. Fred Whitfield is considered the COO, Chief Operating Officer, for the Charlotte Hornets, and has been doing that since 2006. He's in Campbell University Hall of Fame. From everything you understand, since his time being with the Hornets, and I know they haven't had great years there, maybe Mitch Kupchak's going to come in there and kick them into another gear, But the thing about it is he has set up so many different things to help youth in the city of Charlotte that they say it's just unbelievable what he has done there. But he has done some helping out Campbell University, and then what he has done with the Hornets has just been tremendous, in his career. So just to give you kind of a little bit of an update on what we've got here, David, we talked about a former LPGA player. We talked about three Major League Baseball players. We talked about an Olympic champion speed skater, a president and COO of an NBA team, two legendary high school athletic association coaches, a college pro football player, a football coach who developed strong programs at three different North Carolina schools, a college baseball coach with 1,944 wins, a major league umpire that with over 40 years of experience, and a basketball player that's also a world-class surfer. So, you know, I'm not sure how much better than this that it gets. You know, you're talking about six former Atlantic Coast Conference athletes. Four of them have close ties with the city of Greensboro. 13 of the 15 are native North Carolinians, and there's 11 North Carolina universities that these inductees either played, coached, or were an administrator at.
Wow.
So, you know, so this is what the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame is about. And we're recognizing individuals that have done so much for the state of North Carolina, and they certainly deserve to be recognized appropriately.
Yes, they do. And that's, again, I want to mention the induction banquet for people, so in case they wanted to write that down, or I know they can just Google the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame, but also can you give that number again where people can
call for tickets? Exactly. Yeah, once again, the banquet is on Friday, May the 4th. It'll be at the Raleigh Convention Center, and the telephone number, if you're interested, is 919-845-3455. And of course, they can go to our website if they wanted to and take a look also, but that would probably be the best way now to get tickets.
I know, as you said, Twitter, they can just follow you on Twitter, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they can. And all they'd have to do is if they did a search for NCSHOF, they would be able to follow us, and you'd have an on this date coming at you each morning before 8 o'clock. And we have a lot of lot of good things today. Today's on this date, believe it or not, was about Woody Durham in 2011 actually announced his retirement from broadcasting on this date,
man,
in 2011. Now, considering that 3 days ago they were having a memorial for him there at UNC, is just that's pretty special. One thing about Woody was he was on our board of directors too. So he had not only been involved with the as a Hall of Fame member, he was involved as a board of director for the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame.
And he's one of the legends. And again, my kids, obviously, because I'm a Hall of Fame nerd, but also love Woody Durham. They'll know about Woody Durham and all the great broadcasters, because that's what I do for a living. But there's a lot of people who may not, future generations, I'm not talking about on the
right
now, but that's what makes the Hall of Fame so special, when I can say to my grandkids, Woody Durham was one of the best voices I've ever heard on the radio doing ball games, and I grew up listening to him because there was no, back then, the games weren't always on television.
Right.
And he's one of my all-time favorites. So, and not only that, I got a chance to have him on my show 4 or 5 times in Rocky Mount when I was working there, and he was so good to me. And so it's great to have he definitely is well-deserving of the Hall of Fame, and I know there's so many others. And another thing, too, before I let you go, that I failed to mention early on, the beginning of the interview, I was going to ask you, how, if somebody's listening right now and they say, I can't believe that David and Bobby didn't mention this guy, they automatically think that person's automatically in. They may not
right
be. How can somebody nominate someone for the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame?
The best thing that someone could do is to go to our website And that was one thing we wanted to have a process, is they go to our website, and right across the top of the page, we've got information about our inductees and a couple of other things, and then it says how to nominate, and there is actually a nomination form on here that people can register and nominate someone that they feel is capable of being in the Hall of Fame. So I would say that's the easiest way. The other thing they also could do is the telephone number that I had given you just a few minutes ago is certainly, if you called that main number, they could tell you that they may give you some of the same information and guide you through the website, because we're trying to do everything as much electronically as we can, but they can also help.
And I know there's a lot of great people. In fact, another great thing I'll leave, hopefully it's okay to have mentioned, but it's the number of people, I won't say names, but the people that are nominated, don't they stay on a list for a number of years, so they have a chance still to be recognized later on, even if they don't make it this year or next year?
Exactly. Yes, the thing that we do is it's a I think about 5 or 6 years, once someone's nominated, I believe it's 6 years, that they're going to stay on that ballot. And they would be considered by a committee and by the board of directors. And so it's not a matter of 1 year you're on, the next year you're off. You're on that ballot for a certain amount of time to be considered. And the information on our board members is certainly out there, where you can get information to them or send information to Don or myself that we can get to the board of directors. And so it's really a pretty good process that we have set up to take people through, you know, once someone's been nominated and then how they are selected.
It's fascinating, and I know that I could talk to you for hours. You've been generous. I know you went probably longer than you wanted to, Bobby, but Bobby, you're such a gem, and I appreciate you. And Don, give my best to Don. I love the Hall of Fame. And I promise you, I have been to the Museum of History many times. I promise you, I'm going to get on the elevator and go to the third floor. If I have to climb up the walls, I'll make it this time in the near future and take my family. I promise.
Make sure you do. Make sure you go up to that third floor and see the Hall of Fame. I think I mentioned to you yesterday, we just got brand new carpet put in there. We are working on some other things to update some of the artifacts, and so we've got a little bit of a revitalization process going on over the next year to even update some things that are in there now. But you will see 336 inductees now, and after May the 4th, there will be 351.
I can't wait to see it, and I know, once again, can you give the website for people to go to one more time?
If you go to www.ncshof.org, that's the Hall of Fame website.
All right. Bobby Guthrie from the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame, the big induction ceremony coming up in early May, and I hope you guys will attend and go to the website. You can get that number again, and for more information, it's a great website. Check it out. And definitely, let's keep the lives of the folks, the legacy of the lives of the great athletes of North Carolina alive at the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame. Again, Bobby, thank you so much for being on with us today.
I appreciate it. And anytime we can ever help, please let us know.
Wow, where is the time gone? It's another great show, another great episode of the Sports Objective Podcast. We've had a great time. My special thanks again to Sam Walker, a great broadcaster on the Outer Banks and journalist. Appreciate him very much. And Bobby Guthrie, the Associate Executive Director of the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame. And they have that big induction ceremony coming up in early May. Make sure you check that out in Raleigh. Well, also thanks to all of you who are making this a huge success so far. We appreciate you very much. In fact, you can go and like our page on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter, and that's very simple. It's just at @thesportsobj. And if you have any more information, you want to get in touch with us, you can just email me, davidrichman@thesportsobjective.com. For more information, you give us feedback, comments, maybe some guest suggestions. Maybe you want to be on, you're a big-time person, and you have your story you want to tell. Well, then you can do that by, again, just email me, davidrichman@thesportsobjective.com. We've had a great time. We're out of time right now. Until next time, you've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.